Thank you for tuning in to Senior Sense, Navigating Your Journey, a Mosaic Senior Life podcast series created to provide information and stimulate discussion about important issues in senior living. I am Andrew Banoff, President and CEO of Mosaic Senior Life. Every day we are asked questions about aging, Alzheimer's disease, home care, and all aspects of the senior care navigation process. We hope that these podcasts will give you valuable information and that we can be of assistance to you and your loved ones in your journey.
Welcome to today's podcast. I am Mary Brzezinski.
And I am David Magner.
We are here with Andrew Banoff, President and CEO of Mosaic Senior Life. Prior to the 22 years Andrew has been with Mosaic, he served as an executive at four hospital and health organizations. He is a fellow in the American College of Healthcare Executives. He is a board member of several organizations. He is executive producer of the film Next Year Jerusalem, the author of 5200 Sundays, and he has received an honorary Doctor of Humane letter from Sacred Heart University. Today, we will be talking about planning for the future for your older years. Andrew, since you have been in healthcare and working with seniors for a long time, you have seen the challenges older adults face. We all hear about the silver tsunami that is approaching, which is the number of adults that need senior care. Tell us about how that will affect the growing population of older adults.
Thank you, Mary. It is such an important topic for all of us to be thinking about and talking about. Just a few statistics to get us started. I think we all know that the average life expectancy is nearly 80 years of age in the United States. Interesting sidebar, that is materially less than some other countries around the world. We are only ranked 47th in the world in longevity. But even with that, our population is growing, and the aging population is certainly expected to continue to reach new heights in the coming decades. Currently, the population of the 65 population is expected to grow to over 86 million people by the year 2050. The population 85 and older, which is the true senior population that is largely those that are cared for, is literally going to double. And when we talk about seniors, we talk about senior care, it is that 85 plus population that we're talking about. When we look at the impact on the care system, when we look upon the care needs of this older population, nearly three quarters will likely be cared for in the community, and probably a quarter or so will utilize some type of senior living. And I think it's really important to understand the impact that that has not only on the healthcare system, but on our community as a whole. The last piece of tidbit of information to start with, I think, is that the baby boom demographic, which we often refer to, will start turning 85 in the year 2031. So we are nearing the true beginning of that impact of the population in our senior living community.
So, Andrew, how do you suggest older adults start planning for this process?
Well, it's a great question, David. Obviously, everybody's got their own personal circumstances to deal with. And I think it's important to understand both what the senior living options are, what the care needs are, and certainly the impact of dementia and Alzheimer's related diseases, because the primary reason people will need support is the challenges associated with cognitive decline. Let me do first a couple of comments about Alzheimer's disease and dementia in general. The population currently dealing with Alzheimer's and related dementias is about 5 million people in the United States, and that's going to nearly triple in the next two decades. The sad reality is, as we get older, it is more likely that that will become an impact, and to the extent that individuals, as they get older, are not only dealing with the frailty of aging, but issues associated with cognitive decline. The term dementia is really important to understand because I think it's widely misunderstood. And dementia certainly describes a wide range of symptoms associated with a decline in memory. Alzheimer's disease is one form of dementia that reflects and represents about 60 to 80% of all the cases. So it is the most common form of dementia. Other types include vascular dementia, dementia with Lewy bodies, Parkinson's dementia, frontotemporal dementia, and others. So there are different types, but clearly when we talk about dementias, we're talking about those challenges related to cognitive decline. And then the last thing I want to differentiate before I address some of the different parts of the system is that when we talk about cognitive decline, most all seniors, most all of us are going to have some cognitive decline as we age. That's normal, part of aging. And what we need to differentiate, what is really the impact of these diseases that are defined by having at least two of the following mental functions to be impaired to be considered dementia, specifically memory, communication, focus, reasoning, and or visual perception. So it's not just, I forgot where I put my keys, it's true impact on the ability to function that is dementia. And again, the more people learn about it, the more people are prepared, the less scary it is. Mm-hmm. Let me jump just for a minute also to talk about the subject of the senior living options and just the concept of the fact that there's lots of choices out there. And I think the more people understand about what options there are for them, the easier it is. And again, the less scary it is as we start to look forward towards our own aging.
What are the different levels of care and how do people know which ones to consider?
Well, again, this is all very personal and it's hard to do in some summary statements, but I think we should describe the population that is likely to ultimately need some form of a senior living community or facility. Skilled nursing is the highest level of care, which is often referred to as long-term care. Assisted living, or for those individuals that are a little bit more independent but certainly need support with activities of daily living. A type of assisted living care is the memory care units often found in those communities. And then you will see, and we will talk about independent living or any type of environment where seniors live together in order to share resources and services. But if you remember my comment at the beginning, the fact is the vast majority, approximately three quarters of all seniors, will want to and will be able to remain in their own homes, and they will be able to receive care in their homes from caregiver support, aides, family members. And the challenge there is that it requires coordination not only from their living needs, but from their medical care needs. So the vast majority will be cared for in their home. There will be a meaningful portion that live in senior living communities. There's lots of choices out there, lots of people to help individuals figure it out. But again, understanding this when it's not needed or before it's needed is so important to be helpful. And again, we're always happy to help people understand and dig deeper about what's going to be important to them.
So are there any other professionals you would recommend individuals should seek out for certain help?
Absolutely. There are lots of people able, willing, and clearly dedicated to helping individuals and their families. And there's no right or wrong place to start. Very often it's a friend or family member that's been through it, right? We all know someone who's had this experience, and that's a great place to start the conversation. There are attorneys and other professionals dedicated to elder care needs. They're called elder law attorneys. Financial planners who are clearly involved and probably already working with you on some of your financial needs for the future. One of the newer terms that people will hear and refer to are elder care navigators or care coordinators, people that truly are dedicated to helping individuals sort through these questions and issues and options as they get closer to those needs. And to the extent that having a relationship or at least knowing who those people are is so valuable. The last thing I'll share, and I think that, again, many people do this naturally, is to talk to your religious community. The priests in your churches, the rabbis in your synagogue, whoever it is that you turn to for advice about other things in your lives are also great resources for planning as you're looking for your elder care needs in the future.
So how important is it for older adults to include their family in their wishes?
Well, from my perspective, I'll say it's critical. I think that the more people communicate with their children, the better. There are many conversations and a lot of research documenting the importance of the eldest daughter in this conversation without being disrespectful to any of the other children, sons or daughters. But the eldest daughter often bears the burden of being the one to coordinate care for their parents. Regardless, it's important to understand the family dynamics and who will play that role or how you divide those responsibilities when there's other kids. And then the more your children understand your wishes, the more likely they're going to be able to be supportive and to get you to the right place when it's needed. Again, whether it's in your home or in another community. I like to refer to a book that was written a while ago by Dr. Atul Gawande, who's a Harvard surgeon. And it was all about the challenge that he dealt with throughout his career with his patients and their children not understanding their needs. And then he wrote the book really because when it was time for him to understand his father's needs when he got sick, it was clear he didn't understand what his father wanted either. So it's imperative for all of us to talk to our parents. It's not just about getting it documented. It's about really understanding what's important to people, what they want to do, what they're willing to do, what they're not willing to do. And the more that conversation takes place, the easier it is when the challenging issues take place.
And I agree. And I think it's a difficult conversation for most families to have. So even when you're, you know, your loved ones are healthy, a lot of people are afraid to be proactive. So how do you engage that conversation? How early on do you have that conversation? Because many family members I've talked to over 17 years, like you were just mentioning in the book, was like, I had no idea what mom wanted or what my father's wishes are. So how do you navigate that?
Well, I think, David, your comment is important because it is hard and I think it's awkward and there is no right or wrong time. It's whenever you can, whether it's over a cup of coffee or over a family meal or going for a walk. It's just the ability to say, hey, mom, hey, dad, I would really like to understand what you're thinking so I can be supportive over time. And these may not be things you want to talk about, but I need to know what you're thinking. And maybe you've already documented some of this through a will, a living will, an advance directive. But again, it's important for me to understand it. And I would argue it's never too soon. I don't care how old you are. I think as you get older, it becomes more and more important. And very often in group situations, I ask the question, how many people have documented and signed advance directives? And very often the answer is not as high a percentage as I would like it to be. Mm-hmm. Everyone should have advance directives. And I don't mean when you're a teenager or in college, but by the time you're an adult and probably have children, you got to start having those conversations so that you know what you want and also so that your kids know.
A little bit of a switch of subject, but in what other small ways can older adults continue to improve their daily lives?
I think that's so important as part of this conversation to continue to explore. And I love to answer it in the simplest way that I think about it, which is anything and everything that is good for your heart is good for your brain and is good for you. So we've all been hearing for many, many, many years now, all the things that are good for taking care of your heart and making sure that you want to be heart healthy. And I think that the reality is anything that's good for your heart is good for your brain. So let's talk about that a little bit. There is lots written, lots documented. One of my favorite pieces was done by the government years ago called A Public Health Approach to Healthy Aging. It is available with Googling, not too hard. I'll run through them quickly, but again, these are all pretty obvious. Remain physically active. Modify your diet to reduce calories and add fruits and vegetables. Moderate use of alcohol. Stop smoking. Build and maintain a support system and close friendships. Manage stress. And continue to seek meaning and purpose. I think maybe that's all common sense. I think probably all of us do some of those. But the more of it that you do, the more that you keep yourself healthy, the better it is for lifestyle and for your longevity and good health. Because to the extent that we're taking care of ourselves, we're going to get to enjoy our lives better. And again, the research is even more and more proving the importance of relationships and meaningful life and activities to keep yourselves healthy. So again, not complicated. Think of it as heart health is good for you. It's good for your brain. And all that we can do now is going to pay back in the long term. The one thing we didn't talk about today was money and who pays for what. And I think it would be great to save that for another episode because it is complicated, and happy to get into that in more detail.
Andrew, thank you so much for coming on today's podcast and speaking about the issues associated with aging. And of course, the importance of planning for the future as we age in the community. We appreciate your time and of course, your knowledge. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast for Mosaic Senior Life. Please stay tuned for additional episodes on topics that are meaningful to you. In the meantime, please call us at 833-MSL-LINK, 833-MSL-LINK, that's 833-675-5465, or contact us at mosaicsl.org. That's Mosaic with a Z, S as in senior, L as in life, .org, mosaicsl.org, for more information on any of our services.